This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, we'll continue to take your Cubs calls as they lost 7-0 today. The Bats are in a slumber. But let's talk some football right now. It's Bears and Falcons. The Bears, of course, are 2-0. Every time I turn on, whether it's Get Up or one of the ESPN shows, they're talking about Mitch and they're talking about the Bears. And ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown. It's the best pregame show on television. It begins at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. And Rex Ryan, the star of that show, with a lot of our other friends, Matt Hasselbeck is on that show, Boston College guy. Of course, Chris Mortensen, Adam Schefter, Sam Ponder, Teddy Bruschi. Really, really good stuff live from the Seaport District Studio in New York. Rex, it's always great to talk to you. The Bears are 2-0, but are you buying them?
Well, it's funny because, look, they could easily be at least 1-1 or 0-2. Right. But sometimes to have, and Tom will say it, like, if you have a special season, it just works out. You win those games. You find ways of winning those games. And the fact that they're 2-0 is great. It speaks volumes, you know, about them. Hey, look, we'd rather be, you know, 2-0 than the opposite, certainly. So, you know, at the end of the day, all they do is count the ones on the left and the ones on the right. And right now you've got two on the left side, and that's good. Assuming it's going to take at least 9 to get in the playoffs, probably 10. But generally, you know, if you get 10, that's the magic number. But if you get 9 with the extra spot, that's a possibility. You only need 7 more. So, you know, like I say, they're fortunate to be 2-0, but, you know, shoot, take it and run with it.
Yeah, as we like to say, every championship season is filled with good fortune, regardless of how good a team you actually have. So nobody's apologizing for W's here in Chicago. Rex, were you surprised that Matt Nagy decided to go with Mitch Trubisky based on how much he struggled last year? And so far, what do you think of what you've seen from the Bears quarterback?
Well, I think, first off, I'm not surprised at all. I thought it was that he would win the job, and he did. And the fact that you had the same GM that drafted him, you know, ahead of Watts and ahead of Mahomes, we get all that. But he wasn't the only GM that was going to draft Trubisky ahead of him. So everybody, you know, right now, everybody says, oh, no, we wouldn't have taken him. We wouldn't have. Well, that's not true. So the fact is the kid has ability. And 2 years ago, he's the number three number three QBR in the National Football League. So there's a lot there to like, albeit, you know, last year there wasn't much to like of the quarterback, the defense, or the coaching. So to me, you know, he got all the blame, but the other two areas weren't very good either. So, you know, things that you think you can lay your hat on.
Right.
So now it's like, hey, look. Okay, he never looked great in the first three quarters of that first game. Well, he looked pretty darn good in the fourth quarter when it mattered the most, when he threw the 3 touchdown passes. So, to me, I think you just hang in there. The kid, he's done enough to win these two games and let him have it. And we'll see what happens. Look, he's certainly head and shoulders the better athlete at the position. And we've seen where that's important in today's game. You know, it's the athleticism of the quarterback that is being featured, quite honestly, in a lot of these games. So, you know, you've got he's clearly the best athlete on the team,
right.
And then he can improvise and make plays, and I think that's what he's doing.
Rex Ryan joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. All that being said, if it was your, you know what, on the line, would you start Mitch or would you start Nick Foles?
No, I'd start Mitch. There's no question about it.
Okay.
I've said that. I've been at least somewhat a fan of his and not as much of Foles. I think Foles is a really good backup, but he's had one good year of being a starter. So let's not – I know everybody said he's Super Bowl MVP, and, man, he had a great run in the playoffs. Yeah, he was horrible in the regular season. But the fact every one of those games were at home, allowed him to get in that position. And yeah, he did a great job. There's no question in reserve. He's not the only backup quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Yet when you put him, when you gave him an opportunity to be a starter, he had an opportunity with the Rams. He had an opportunity in Jacksonville, and he couldn't hold the job. So to me, Mitch Trubisky would be the guy I would go with.
Did the Bears drop the ball when they didn't go after Cam Rex?
Yeah, and them and almost every other team in the league. You know, and that's what I, it's hard to believe. Like, is the NFL really that stupid? Like, but, you know, these doctors talk, and certainly if you looked at the video, I mean, guys, there's a reason why he wasn't taken. He was 0-8 his last eight starts. But he wasn't the guy. He had no arm strength. Yeah. And then he's coming off a leg injury as well, an ankle injury as well. So there are a lot of questions there. But they rolled the dice, and it hit. And let's face it, I haven't seen this kind of arm strength out of him for years. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise that he missed the two seasons pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it allowed that shoulder to heal.
Rex, can you make the argument that this Patriots offense is better with Cam because of the limited weapons in that huddle than they were with Tom Brady last year?
Yeah, I guess you can make that argument, but Tom Brady has won a few games,
right?
You know, as a quarterback. So I don't think they're better because they have Cam instead of Tom, but maybe in this particular situation, you could be right. Because those weapons are, you know, they're not very good at receiver, certainly.
Rex, we've seen in the first 2 weeks there have been more yards gained and more points scored in the first two games of any NFL season ever. How surprised are you by that, all things considered?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by it because normally the defense is generally, everybody says, a defense ahead of the offense. Well, we're not seeing that now. It looks like these offenses are ahead of these defenses, so... yeah, I'm surprised by all that scoring, you know, because I did assume that people would have their defense ready to go. I think what it comes down to, though, is I think you're seeing the conditioning is not at the level it normally is on the defensive side of the ball, and I think offenses are exploiting it.
So settle that argument. Waddle and I have had an interesting debate early in the week, and I understand that the Bears' defense limited the Giants to under 300 yards, and they limited the point total. But they still let the Giants march down the field, and they just ran out of time. The previous week, Rex, the Bears' defense allowed the Detroit Lions, without Kenny Galladay, to march down the field. They won the game. Swift dropped the ball. And I said to Waddle, I go, look, that's our bread and butter. The defense has to be better than that. And Waddle was throwing at me, hey, the offense has to step up. The numbers overall have been good. For you as a defensive guy, how do you look at that at the end of the game, even though in totality the Bears' defense has been good, but giving up those drives with money on the table?
Well, it just shows that they're not anywhere close to being the defenses in the past. Even when Vic Fangio was there, they had a really good defense. In the last 2 years, they've underachieved, I think. And that's what, you know, for the Bears, you assume they're going to have the best defense in the league or be in that conversation. And they're just not there right now. And it blows me away because the same names are there. And so why are they not playing at that kind of level? I mean, they don't get a pass rush, and you have Khalil Mack and players like that. I don't understand it because he's a game changer. Like he closes games, and we haven't seen that yet. I love the big Hicks kid and Jackson as a free safety, and they got some good linebackers. I mean Roquan Smith, Trevathan, they got all these players. It just boggles my mind that they haven't. You know, the 18 points a game, okay, that's good. But if you're exceptional, you should blow out a Detroit Lion team that doesn't have Galladay, their best receiver. You should blow out, you know, different teams, and you just haven't been able to do it. You got the Giants who can't, who lose Saquon Barkley and have troubles with their offensive line, you know. But at the same time, they found ways to get two wins, and that's the important thing. And the other thing is, like I said, their defense has not hit their stride. And, you know, keeping the 18 points, that's great, but the schedule is going to get more difficult. And starting this week, it'll be much, much more difficult. So we'll see how they do.
Rex, as a defensive coach, have you noticed that I guess the league has made a commitment to throwing the flag fewer times. It looks like some of the offensive linemen are getting away with things they weren't able to get away with a while ago. Do you watch games over the first couple of weeks and say, what the hell is that?
No, you know what? I think, first off, I love the fact there's less flags. I mean, there were times last year that any time a receiver got, you know, bumped into or whatever, they're going to throw a flag. And that drove me crazy. And so this is like, let guys play. If it's an egregious, you know, situation or flag, should be called and throw it. If not, then let them play. And I think that's a better game. It's a, you know, so to me, I'm happy that there's not that many flags. People don't come to see the officials, you know, throw flags. That's not why they watch this game.
Rex, picture your best team with the Jets. And if I'm giving you the choice of any quarterback in the league for that season, are you going with Mahomes or are you taking somebody else like Rodgers or Russell Wilson,
or
the way he's been playing, Lamar Jackson?
No, there's plenty to choose from, but if you gave me Pat Mahomes, I'd still be there.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
With a ton of rings. and really, if I could have half of those quarterbacks, it would have made a difference. But, you know, we had Mark Sanchez, and he did a decent job for us. But coming in as a rookie, you know, it's hard to win as a rookie, and he did a good job. You know, obviously we were a run-heavy type offense, but we also played the best defense in the league. So it gave us opportunities. But, yeah, if we had I always thought everybody, well, yeah, I'm ground and pound. Yeah. Did you saw what I had at quarterback. If I would have had Pat Mahomes, you think I'm still ground and pound? I don't think so.
Rex, what about this becoming a family business for you? I mean, you know how beloved Buddy was in this town and the 46 defense and the 85 season that you were here for. And now your son coaching in San Diego. How proud are you and to continue the legacy?
Yeah, no, I'm very proud of it. He's, you know, in his fourth year with the Chargers now. So, yeah, it's really neat. And the fact that, you know, he's on the other side of the ball, I don't know what the hell's wrong with the kid, but that's what he was. And it is funny because he was a receiver, a backup receiver at Clemson, and found a way he walked on there, got a scholarship, and, you know, contributed any way he could. But, yeah, it's kind of a neat deal, and it's not surprising. Like I knew he reminded me of myself and my twin brother, that he just loved the game and loved being around it, understood it. Actually had him signal in defenses for me when he was in high school for home games, because knowing that back in the day there was some people that would kind of steal your signals. But I knew they wouldn't be thinking some high school kid was over there signaling in our defense, and he was the hot guy. So it was funny, even back then he could do it, never panicked. You know, so he just had it in him, and it is neat, and hopefully it can take him. I'd love to see him be a little bit better than me. You know, that's just what my dad wanted. He wanted us to be a little bit better than him, and we certainly want I want my son to be better than me for sure.
Rex, we always appreciate your time. We're going to be watching Countdown on Sunday, 9 o'clock here in Chicago. We always appreciate when you hop on the line and talk Bears with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rex.
All right, guys. My pleasure. Thank you.
There you go. Rex Ryan, as he joins us talking about the Bears. And all of our guests like Rex Ryan appear on the Corona Hotline.
A lot there. A lot to
Let's talk about it. Yeah. And Waddle watched the coach's film today. What was the biggest thing he took away on the Bears offense? I have not heard, and I can't wait. If you want to react, 332-3776, whether it's about Chicago baseball, we have some people who want to talk to us. We have plenty of room for you at 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
fun it was when you'd hear this before Rizzo would come to the plate? He's sort of hitting.
Is this his walk-up music?
Yeah, for one of his at-bats, yes.
Which one? The one where he grounds out lightly to the second baseman?
He's been hitting better. He's coming out of it.
That is true. He is the only one that is trending and headed in the right direction.
Yes, he's the only one.
Yeah.
We were talking some football. I got some Bulls sound to play. What'd you make of Rex, and what did you see in the All-22, which is the coaching film?
Yeah, I think going back and listening to Robert Mays is I think if you're a Bears fan, it's worth your time, because I think Robert does a really good job. He looks at all the film, and I will ask you, what did you think of his evaluation of what he's seen of the offense and Mitch before I tell you kind of what I saw?
That Robert Mays, when he joined us at 3 today, was saying that the system is benefiting Mitch much more than it was last year, that they're doing Mitch right this year. And he sees a similar version of Mitch as from 2018, but he also sees some sloppy footwork.
Yeah, I think I was even a touch more optimistic after watching the film than Robert was, because basically I think Robert's projection was, look, this is who he is. But I agree, and through 2 weeks of watching film, I thought it was cleaner this week than last week. I thought the first 40 minutes, there was some really sloppy footwork and really bad technique. I think some of that got cleaned up. Not all of it's ever going to get cleaned up. I agree 1,000%. I think Matt Nagy's had two really good games. And I think what Matt Nagy did, and I think it's something you mentioned to Robert, was he did some self-scouting. And he realized what he can ask Mitch to do and what he can't ask Mitch to do. So when I watch it, I see an offense that's tailored to a quarterback to help him take advantage of what he's doing well and not asking him to do what he doesn't do well. Like, you're not seeing a ton of Mitch sitting back in shotgun with five wide receivers, and he's having to read a three-route combo on one side and a two-route combo on the other. They're not asking him to do much of that, and that's good. They're relying on running the football. And I got to tell you, I only saw a couple boom goes the dynamite plays, and they weren't either of the interceptions. You know how I feel about the one interception of Allen Robinson on the sideline. That ball's underthrown a little bit. Allen does make that catch quite a bit. But Bradbury's a cornerback that the New York Giants gave a 3-year, I think, a 40-something million dollar extension or a free agent contract because he came from Carolina. He's a hell of a player. He made a great play. He had a left arm inside Allen's ribcage and pulled that ball away. Now, again, as I said, if Allen does catch it, it's not a completion because his left foot's in, his right foot's out. Because not only did Bradbury take the ball away from him, his body pushed him out of bounds. So that's not one I would be too hard on Allen or Mitch. That's not a boom goes the dynamite move. The other interception earlier, I could see why somebody, I think Dan Orlovsky says that's all on the wide receiver. What I would tell you is I see why Allen Robinson geared it down, because there was a linebacker inside of him and the hole was small. But Allen started to drift. Instead of coming across and coming straight back, he started to drift a little bit, and Bradbury made a play on him. The one thing I would say about Mitch is he makes a short little fake and then stares Allen down, and then Bradbury jumps the route. So Allen didn't do Mitch any favors. But Mitch didn't do himself any favors by trying to force that ball into that window. Again, I know why Allen geared it down, but he could have come back to the ball a little bit, which is hard to do. It's not a hook route. It's an in route. So, like, that one's not a boom goes the dynamite move either. Like, sometimes those things are going to happen. Would I have preferred Mitch not to go there? Yes. Would I have preferred Allen to come back to the ball like he was running a hook, which he wasn't? He was running it in. He read the linebacker right. He just allowed the corner to come over top of him and tip the ball. Yeah, I think both guys could have played it better. Not a boom goes the dynamite move. The two boom goes the dynamite moves to me were the third and one and the fourth and one on that final drive. I think Dan Wiederer told us about the play that he was very fortunate that the ball was batted down because it was going right into the arms of the linebacker. That's fourth down, right? That was third down.
Oh, that was third. Isn't that the play that I kept saying that running out in the flat for the first down was Montgomery?
I think so. And then the fourth down play, they just got lucky again. That was a boom goes the dynamite move as well. That throw. So the only two ones that really left me feeling itchy and scratchy the way I did a year ago were those two plays, which means he's limited those, you know, monster what the hell are you doing moments. And a lot of it is a byproduct of what Matt's limiting terms of asking him to do. But I don't want to not give Mitch. Mitch looks better. He looks more comfortable because he's not asked to do as much. There were two or three plays where I thought the ball went to the wrong spot. Like he could have read something differently and sent the ball the other way. But I tell you what, like he makes some really good plays with his feet. Not only does he rush for some yards, but he also has done a brilliant job buying time and getting himself out. Yeah, he has. I mean, he's done a really nice job using his feet to evade the rush. Listen, he's dropped a couple dimes the first couple weeks. He's not going to be the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. That's just reality. It's just not going to happen. I mean, there are going to be moments. But inside the confines of what they're asking him to do, it ain't perfect. But it's better than it was. I'd really, now again, as Robert said, when it get you start to face different teams, and as you said, when teams start to adjust to him, like they're running a lot of things off of run action. There's a lot of like fake and, you know, throwing 12 or 14 yard hitch routes or hook routes. You're going to have to pump and go some teams because better teams are going to sit on a lot of these things. But like, I give you a solid B minus B.
You sound enthusiastic. I mean, 312-332-3776. Waddle used Trubisky and Brilliant in the same segment.
Well, with his feet. Now,
yeah, I know that. Yeah. I know. But it doesn't sound as good then.
That's right.
But you sound a little bit refreshed. I think he, like on second hand, you liked what you saw better than you liked when you watched it live.
Yes.
Even more.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
What do you think about what Waddle is saying? 312-332-3776. We'll take your Bears calls if you want to still weigh in on the Cubs. And then I've got some Billy Donovan sound on the recruiting process from the Bulls today that we'll play before 6 o'clock. And don't forget, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, Billy Donovan is going to join Cap and Jay Hood. So that show has been awesome. Remember, it's a new start, 7 o'clock, 7 to 10 every single day.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I like what I'm hearing this week. Matt Nagy earlier in the week said he's seen enough growth out of Mitch. Waddle sounded more optimistic than I thought he was going to be.
Think about where the bar has been for me again. So you got to put it all into perspective. I'm not changing my prediction on what this offense will be or what the record will be. What I'm telling you is I'm most focused on what the coach is asking him to do. And I like what Matt has done. All of the things that made my ass red last year are kind of, for the most part, they've been, the salve is there now. It's a nice cooling ointment because they're not asking him to do the stuff this year that they did last year.
They're running the ball, the play action, because they're running the ball.
He, you know.
Less from shotgun.
Yeah, like those, like the Mooney route works. And even Allen Robinson ran one where they're like a two-player routes, but they're working over the middle of the field because teams are having to honor the play fake now. And that seems really basic, but it's something I didn't think that they did a whole lot last year. And again, I think the most impressive thing he's done, don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you he's turning into Peyton Manning, but he's limited the boom goes the dynamite moments that seem like there was a handful of them every quarter last year, didn't there?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Like those moments don't feel like they're as frequent. And he's really done a very nice job, the feel with his feet, buying time and escaping the pass rush and knowing what to do with the football when those moments happen. And again, I said it to Mays, and I'll say it again. I think he is benefiting greatly from a quiet stadium because it's one less thing to have to factor.
You don't have to worry about a loud road crowd,
yes.
Nor do you have to worry about a Soldier Field crowd that would have been getting antsy in the fourth quarter with him.
You know the play that Anthony Miller dropped in the end zone?
That murmur.
It's another beautifully drawn up play where it's really not, you're not asking Mitch to do really anything other than to make one read. It's a pick route that he comes underneath and goes to the pylon and he makes a beautiful throw. But it's not one that he has to process to look from the right side of the field all the way to the left.
Eric, I'm going to take Tom on the south side. So if you could call up Tom. Tom, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just heard Tommy Hedge for the last couple of minutes, but I just wanted to call in. I agree with the coaching that Nagy is not – he hasn't been quite so cute this year and put him in so many bad spots. But my question to you guys ultimately is, will Trubisky be on this team a year from now? I'm going to hang up and listen.
I would not put my money on that right now. I just wouldn't. Like, I'm telling you what I've seen against the Lions and the Giants. Like, when the defense, and I think that was the point that Robert Mays was making earlier, is let's see some of this, how it will all unfold against a better defense. You're not going to probably get that look this weekend in Atlanta because the Falcons don't play good defense and a lot of their guys are banged up. But when you face better teams and they start heating up the quarterback a little bit and the pass rush is more consistent, you're going to find out more whether or not some of what I've seen that seems to be an improvement is long-lasting, or is it just something that it becomes evident because of the level of competition you're facing.
And that's the biggest worry,
of course,
big picture for the Bears, is that you still may not have a quarterback. They did not pick up the fifth year.
No.
So, you know, we're talking about 14 more games with Mitch. And then if he really plays well, are you willing to pay big money for him? And then if he doesn't play well, like, obviously, you're not going to offer him a deal. Like, it's a really big trick box now.
I'm not willing to say that, oh, you know what, I think there's a chance he could develop into this really fantastic quarterback. I would never go there. I'm just telling you, he's cleaned up some. When I always told you for the last two or three years, it was like, dude, it doesn't even look like he's played. He's used to playing the position.
Yeah, right.
Some of that's kind of gone away a little bit, which is. Like, you got to walk before you run.
Marty in Lockport. Hey, Marty, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Love the show.
Thank you.
So every year I feel like I hate Trubisky starting off, and I talk myself back into it. And at this point, I've talked myself into the idea that he could grow to become some type of player like Alex Smith. And Wilde was saying that, he's never going to be a superstar, but I want to know if you think he can make that sort of jump there. You know, he's cutting out some mistakes, but do I have any hope in my quarterback? Can you tell me if you think there's any sort of a future there?
Alex Smith as a Kansas City Chief to me was a very good quarterback. He wasn't elite, but you could win games, and he was smart, and he knew where the ball was supposed to go, and he looked like he came out of the womb playing the position. I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm just telling you, I've seen baby steps from 2019 to 2020 where what you've done is you've taken the most basic issues that seem to be such difficult things for the coach and quarterback to kind of solve, and some of those are gone now. The coach is putting the quarterback in a good position to take advantage of what he does. He's not asking him to do too much, and hence I don't think the quarterback's trying to do too much. He's playing inside the confines of what the coach is asking him to do, and that's step one. So
can I weigh in on this? Because I'm very passionate about it. The one thing that Alex Smith was is steady. Mitch isn't steady.
I haven't
given this stat all week. I saw that Potsy tweeted this out courtesy of Kevin Fishbane this week. And I don't know if you ever saw this, Waddle.
I did.
Since 2018, Mitch Trubisky is the only full-time starting quarterback in the NFL without a single-game passer rating in the 90s. So think about this. Like, 90s is pretty average. Like, that's steady. Like, it's not a great game, but it's not a bad game. So in 31 starts, Trubisky is 11 games of 102.7 or better, okay? 11 games, 102.7. So he's at 11 great games. He's had 20 games of an 86.3 or worse. So 20 has been like below, like about average or below.
And it's easier to get a higher quarterback rating these days because I think completion percentage is so valuable.
Is up. And then that 90, he's never been in the 90s. And it's just, it fluctuates so dramatically where A-Rob is wide open. He misses him. Montgomery's open in the flat. Like, the boom goes and the dynamite moments haven't concerned me as much. His picks haven't been astronomical.
Right.
They have been there, but they haven't been like Cutler. And it's more to me about reading the defense and finding and making the accurate throw.
And it's a great point, Sylvie, and it's why you, at the end of the day, you still come away going the ceiling is limited.
Right, and Alex Smith can make the throw.
Yes.
You know, and he was steady.
He was more accurate. Alex Smith was a more accurate quarterback than Mitch has shown through three-plus years.
Mike on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I mean, for this particular season, Mitch just has to be replacement level. He really, or at least middle of the pack.
Average.
Relative to the defense we have. We have an outstanding defense, but the clock is ticking on the defense. So, and then here's the other unfortunate thing is that we do have this outstanding defense, and Mitch is going to be basically a free agent or, you know, after next year or restricted or whatever. Just a shame that Pace is going to waste, you know, this creation that he was able to build if we don't get a competent quarterback in here within the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's a great call, Mike. And like, listen, to anyone who thinks that either A, I've completely changed my mind or I've lost my mind, please understand that all I've asked for this year is what?
Average.
Offensively.
Be average.
Be average. Like, I'm not setting the bar.
In this league, though, is pretty high these days. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to go down several quarterbacks before you get, like, middle of the road. There are so many good quarterbacks in this league now.
But I'm asking the whole offense to be average. So if the running game takes on a large role, that takes pressure off the quarterback.
Of course.
Give me 350 yards and 23 points per game, and you're going to win more than you lose. You can't give me 17 points against a bad Giants team consistently. You just can't do it. So, again, keep it all in perspective because I am as well. I'm not telling you that the world has changed and all of a sudden John Elway has taken over the reins here in Chicago. I'm just telling you that, like, the crazy what the hell was that moments are fewer and further between. And I do see some things that at the very least don't make you puke.
We have a Sox update. Yomer Sanchez has gone
deep. Boom!
You have money on the White Sox tonight, Waddle. They are up early, 1-0, top of the third inning. It's Plesac against Keuchel. A lot of people want to react to Waddle's film study on the quarterback. 312-332-3776. Still plenty of time for you on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Talking some Bears. It's been an eventful day with the Cubs losing. Sox are up 1-0 early in the third here.
Let's go White Sox.
The Bulls had their press conference today, too. The good stories about the way they recruited Billy Donovan. The Bulls were not on his radar, and AK called him 2 days after he left OKC, and they went down to Florida. And they met with him for 5.5 hours and multiple phone calls with him. And
they fell in love.
Yeah, and then Billy Donovan will be on with Cap and Jay Hood tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eddie on 90. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
How's it going?
We're good.
Eddie.
So I feel like if Mitch plays well enough, that he's not replaced, and we make it maybe second round of the playoffs and they lose. I feel like I don't want him, but worst case scenario is like we can control, we can offer. I don't see any other teams knocking on his door offering him a starting job position. So I feel they can lowball him for a decent contract, maybe a 2-year extension or something like that. But like I said, I feel like if he plays well enough, like, we really shouldn't be worried about QB because who else is going to give him money?
I'm not worried about anybody else giving him money. Listen, unless you see significant progress from here to the end of the regular season, you've got to wow me to make me change my mind that going in a different direction next year for 2021 isn't the right decision. Like, I mean, you still got a long way to go to prove that because you can't. You've got to get in. You think Matt wants to be in an environment where he can only run part of his playbook or the goal is to be average?
No, he wants to run his offense.
Right. I'll tell you this, too. Jimmy Graham looks 35.
Yeah, we expected that. I don't know why Ryan Pace didn't, but he had to sign him on day one of free agency. Dan in Downers Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, my whole question is about the fact that, you know, I think when it, answer this, I like Waddle's assessment of that he's Trubisky's getting better. When is the last time, honestly, the Bears have had a good quarterback?
Never.
Seriously.
Like, I mean, like, there a time
Jay
or two,
had
maybe,
moments.
Maybe Cutler, well, Eric Kramer.
Yeah. Kramer had moments.
Okay, but we're not, Chicago's not built to be in a horse race. We are a 17-14 slug it out Chicago Bear defense wins. So why are we all jacked up if Mitch is okay? We're not going to attract a gunslinger here because they don't throw the ball. I mean, for 25 years or so, think about it. Who's our best quarterback?
But
you
I'm
can't
not,
even name one.
What does the past have to do with looking for somebody who can play the position at a high level going forward? I'm not going to limit my expectations and what I want to see from the position because the previous administrations have failed at it.
But the whole Chicago Bear deal is defense. We are not, and we live, you know, we don't have a dome. We're not going to attract some dude from Southern California who likes to launch it, or Texas, or California, wherever, or
but,
Florida.
Yeah,
Dan, if you don't come here, you don't come to Chicago to be a top quarterback.
Drafting.
Dan, let me play devil's advocate with you. What was the New England Patriots' reputation before Brady? I mean, if you do the right work, the Bears shouldn't be running in defense. It should be 2020 football. Find the right guy. And if you could do it in New England, you can do it here.
What were the Baltimore
If you could do it in Green Bay, you can do it here.
What were the Baltimore Ravens known for forever?
Defense. They had Kyle Bowler and company.
You have the MVP of 2019's NFL season as your quarterback now. I don't know why we need to have that mentality that because we haven't succeeded at the position for 40 years. Let's just punt.
Right. Like if Green Bay can bring in Favre and Rodgers in their cold weather, outdoor grass turf, then you can do it in Chicago if you do it right. Mitchell and Displains. Oh, Mitchell. Hey. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, what's up, Team Virgo Pisces? I want to bring this to your attention. When you have Trubisky who's consistently inconsistent, you're strapped. Because the bottom line is that there's a fairy tale called that he can make all the throws. When you analyze the Giants game, he's so erratic. Those throws, he cannot throw downfield. Okay, and by the way, the first possession with Trubisky against the Giants, when they ran zone, he was completely affected by it. So the bottom line is this. Defenses are totally focused on that. Obviously, Patricia, you know, was stubborn. But not the rest of the NFL and the remaining, you know, games that are on the schedule. What you're going to find is when you have a quarterback like Trubisky, who is consistently inconsistent, you're going to always have this up and down, traversing like watching the stock market. A lot of volatility in his performance and his ability. And the fact that you're going to come up with a leash, you can't, folks. You can't give a leash to somebody who's predictably unpredictable. You can't give a leash to somebody who's consistently inconsistent because Trubisky, yes, you know why he's doing somewhat what I call average? Because it's a barrage because they're putting more of an emphasis on the running game. So it's like, you know, that takes a lot of pressure off what he was last year. Big deal. The fact of the matter is that we're going against a team that scored 39 points in Atlanta Falcons offense. Their defense, I watched all 22, they're good. So don't undersell the Atlanta Falcons defense, folks. And by the way, do I see Trubisky basically putting more than 17 points? No, I do not. And I think what happens is he's going to get razzled. He's going to get frazzled, and he's going to be up and down making mental mistakes because he's lost in the sauce of the fact that he's not ready for prime time in the NFL.
We'll see.
All I can tell you, Mitch, is what I saw. And like I said, I'm not trying to dress it up any more than it is. I'm just telling you. Step one for me is there's two things that I'm highlighting. The boom goes to dynamite moves or moments are fewer and further between, and a lot of that has to do with what the coach is doing.
The game plan.
And he's also done some really nice things with his feet, buying time. The two touchdown passes only happen because of his ability to buy time.
All right, Bleck and Abdallah are coming up with the baseball show next. Ring up the phone lines.
Put me up.
There you go.
Put me up.
We had so many Cubs calls today.
Oh, yeah.
So many.
I heard What, do you think I didn't listen to the whole show? Do you think I've just been sitting here?
Yes.
I got notes. I got notes.
Ooh.
He's got notes.
I got notes.
Do you have a play tonight? Have?
Do I have a play tonight? I think Bleck and I... Bleck says hello. He's having a
see at your house?
Connectivity. No. He's having network connectivity issues, so he has to wait until Sylvie's done before yes. he can jump on.
Been there.
He does say hello.
Hi, Chris.
I'm on the White Sox with you, Waddle.
Okay, all right.
I like the under in the college game tonight, a little UAB, a little Alabama action.
For the game or for the first half?
For the game. And then I also like the Jaguars tonight.
I played the over. I didn't know who to bet.
Yeah, overs club. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Points.
Yeah. So over listen, in the NFL game, under in the college game.
There's a lot of exposure out there tonight, guys. A lot of exposure out there.
I got a three-team parlay going, too.
I've been sitting here over-analyzing every line, and I think I love everything.
Yeah. That's what you should.
All right, Bleck and Abdallah coming up. Your Cubs calls 312-332-3776 if you want to react during the Sox game. They're open to that as well. They're coming up in 2 minutes. Thank you to Rex Ryan who joined us today. Who else joined us today, Waddle? We had Robert Mays.
We had Jesse Rogers.
And Jesse Rogers. There you go. Good stuff, and thanks for all the phone calls. And thanks to Tyler Aki helping out today with Eric Ostrowski.
Good.
Bleck and Abdallah back in 2 minutes. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie, CSPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
It's the classic!
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.